Hey, we get it. You don't want to be hearing a Progressive commercial right now. So let us tell you something you do want to hear. You are powerful. You're a warrior who bathes in your enemy's tears. Then you step out of that refreshing tear bath and into a bathrobe that somehow looks good on you. Yeah, you can pull off a robe. There, don't you feel better? You'll also feel better when you save money for driving safely with Snapshot from Progressive. Savings you can use to buy more robes. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Delhi Decoded. I'm Pritika Khanna, your host, and I'm here with your weekly update from the national capital. In this podcast, each episode, we pick a pin code from Delhi and dive into the most famous buildings, landmarks, and stories from that pin code. For those of you who are from Delhi, I'm sure you have some very special memories from these places. For those of you who aren't, don't worry, I'll help you get a peek into the pulse of Delhi.
Hamari apni Delhi.
Diwali is right around the corner. I think it's my favorite time of the year. In Delhi, it means winter setting in and a series of festivals will follow. This year, celebrations are going to be different for sure. With levels of pollution and cases of COVID-19 rising in the national capital, I think it's best to stay at home as much as possible through this festive season. On a normal year, by this time, markets would be abuzz with people gearing up to buy decorations and sweets for the festival. Along with that, there would be Diwali bazaars organized by associations and NGOs which not only support small businesses but also their causes. Every year, Diwali for me meant visiting the blind school in 11003 for their annual bazaar to buy the candles and diyas which are made by the visually impaired students at the school. This year, the blind school was unable to hold their annual bazaar, but sales for their candles continue both at the school and online. I have with me Radhika Bharatram, who is the Joint Secretary of the Blind Relief Association. She serves as the Joint Vice Chairperson of the Shriram Schools and is the General Secretary of the Delhi Crafts Council. She is also the founder of Karm Trust, which is a fellowship program for women from less privileged backgrounds. She is going to speak to me about the steps associations like Blind School are taking during the pandemic. Welcome to Delhi Decoded. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Pritika, for inviting me over to talk about Blind Relief Association. I'm super excited.
Before we get into the thick of things, can you tell us a little bit about the work that Blind Relief Association does?
Sure. Blind Relief Association was founded in 1944, so we just completed our 75th year. It's an institution which has been working for the visually impaired for the last 75 years to make them independent, to provide them opportunities so that they can earn a livelihood with dignity, and to create opportunities where we can also be catalyst in talking about things that need to be spoken about, especially in the policies that affect the PWDs, that are people with disability. And so that's the work we do. We have a school, we have a vocational training center, we have a teacher training center, and we have a computer program and a multi-skill program as well, all housed under one roof. So that's a Blind Relief for you.
That's a lot of work, and a special year, definitely. And what a year to be celebrating the 75th year, for sure. So, you know, the Blind School Diwali Mela, I think, has now become sort of synonymous with the festival in Delhi. I think it's just like, you know, the first thing when you think of Diwali is like, oh, the Blind Bazaar, Blind School Diwali Bazaar. How key is the bazaar for the association, and what are the changes that are happening this year? Because obviously, because of COVID, it's not going to be able to happen this year.
So really, to put it out there, it is one of our biggest fundraiser, or whatever you call the CSR money. Unfortunately, we've been hit very badly with like many organizations and NGOs with the COVID. But you know what happens with something with a Blind Relief Association, at least with us, is that CSR money doesn't come our way very easily, because typically corporates want to know how many numbers, what is the impact, how big is the impact. And, you know, you're working with visually impaired. I can't give you numbers in millions and thousands, you know. So that's where we're thankful that we have the Diwali Bazaar, which actually helps in running of all our programs. But of course, we have lots of donors who come forward, a lot of corporates who do support us, but we don't have major funding that comes from CSR. And so the Diwali Bazaar is not only just a fundraiser, but it's actually to get the Delhi community together under one roof. And we are feeling totally lost at the moment because we can't hold the Diwali Bazaar. But we are doing the candle sales, but it doesn't feel like a Diwali at all. So yes, it's quite a bummer that we can't do this.
I think the biggest takeaway that has happened with the pandemic has been the ability for organizations and associations to pivot and make changes. And as you said, so even though the bazaar can't happen, you're saying the candle sale is happening. What are some of the steps that the association is taking to, you know, adapt to this current environment?
So we started when we knew we couldn't do the Diwali Bazaar, which was almost 3 months ago. We decided that we're going to start producing our candles and put them on sale beforehand. And something that we don't do is courier service. So we reinvented and got in touch with people who would sort of do home delivery for us. And we have this amazing supporter, a father and son, who have just, in fact, yesterday created an online sale portal for us for our products, all done on pro bono, just out of goodwill, and something that they wanted to give to Blind Relief as a Diwali present. So a big thank you to them. And so now all our products are online, and we've tied up with a courier service which will deliver the products if people are feeling a little hesitant to come to Blind Relief Association. So that's one of the changes that we've made. The other change we've made is that we have gone online with our courses. And what is amazing is that our reach has become pan-India. So I think whenever there is a crisis, you have to look for opportunities. And so the opportunities have been also in a way of change in mindset of the people who work at Blind Relief. There is always a little bit of hesitance that we have faced vis-a-vis technology and embracing technology. And well, we have had no choice but to embrace it, even for our teachers, our school, where there was always this this nervousness to embrace technology. They have really stepped up and they have supported our children. So a lot of changes. And I think it's been a huge learning process for Blind Relief Association through these last 6-7 months.
I was saying, can you expand a little bit more on the changes that you've made on the teaching front? Because online education is tough as it is. And when you bring, you know, there's the challenge of students being visually impaired. There's also a challenge of how expensive online education is, because, it requires a lot of privilege to have a phone, a laptop, and, you know, access to a lot of things that we normally take just for granted. So, you know, what are the changes that you've had to make education easily available to these students?
So first, our school is a boarding school. So all our kids are back in their villages. So when, of course, COVID hit us, we didn't know what has happened to us. And we started contacting our children. That was the first protocol, as to check whether they're okay, whether they're safe. The second was to find out whether they had any kind of smartphones. Many didn't have. And so Blind Relief did a kind of a donate a gadget kind of a campaign, and thankfully we got some people who came forward to give us some gadgets and mobile phones. The issue has been that they do come from very, very humble backgrounds, our children. So now with the the lockdown being lifted, people are going back to their work in their villages as well. So the child doesn't have access. They don't have the luxury of having 3-4 gadgets at home. So typically they end up studying at night, because when the dad and the mom come back from their work, we are using a lot of WhatsApp. we are doing a lot of recorded vocal classes because our kids are visually impaired. You know, it is, I think it's been an eye opener for all of us as well, that there isn't too much content available for visually impaired. And, you know, our kids needed their braille because they are most comfortable reading their content on braille. And so we had to courier braille books to them, and they feel very comfortable with it. And, you know, like Kritika, we did so much of research, and there is a lot of good work happening to support the visually impaired, but the technology available is so expensive that it is also an elite technology even in the visually impaired. So we need to look for innovation. We need people to come up with softwares, or even, you know, they have this reader which is actually a braille reader which is electronic, but it's very expensive. It can be, if it can be made cheaper, then, you know, our kids have better access to a lot of content. So at the moment our teachers are struggling as well. They are trying to do all the research that they can and download all the material that is available online. But you know, after a while, you need that contact with your children. Yes. You know, as an educator, you have to be with your children. And especially with visually impaired, it becomes very, it's too abstract. You know what I'm trying to say? There is... Everything is left to imagination. And if there is not a support at home to take them through that journey, it becomes very, very difficult.
This was actually something that you spoke about a bit about earlier as well, on how the association depends heavily on funds. With the economy also not doing very well, corporates who usually used to donate will also feel the crunch at some stage. Is that a cause of concern? What are the steps that are being thought of? What is happening on that front?
So there are 2-3 things that we are thinking of. Of course, writing to the corporates. But, you know, what has been very reassuring for us is the corporates who typically support us have actually extended their cooperation or their support, and they haven't withdrawn their funding for this year. Mm-hmm. I feel, and I say this with all humility and with a lot of confidence, that Blind Relief has such a good standing that I have full faith that people will come up and support us. And we are also thinking of, you know, if we could next year maybe do 2 bazaars instead of doing 1. We're already trying to think of how we can generate that money for the association. We were going to start a boarding a facility for visually impaired girls, and we had a new building that's just come up and that's been stalled, and we were looking for funding for that as well. I think after Diwali is when we will seriously start working on how to get the funds in. But somehow we haven't really panicked as yet, which is very good, because the team feels confident that we will be able to ride this terrible, terrible phase.
Well, definitely hoping for that. What do you think is required right now to empower the visually impaired?
Opportunities. There is lack of opportunities. There is lack of awareness. There are policies that don't support the visually impaired. And I can go on. But I also feel that there is a shift. Like I can mention Microsoft. They have hired already, I think, 2-3 of our visually impaired girls as receptionists, and they want to hire more. And I think I feel corporates are sensitive to it. It's also about creating awareness and educating people about how to integrate the visually impaired into their working environment. Microsoft has done a great job of that. Policies need to be there which support the visually impaired. Mm-hmm. There are no schemes that support them. We've been always been talking about so-called the normal children, but I have not heard anybody taking up the issue of the disability sector, and education has hit everybody, not just the so-called normal children. It's hit all types of children, and the struggle for them has been probably 100 times more than for anybody who is sighted, you know. And that's where my heart breaks, that if we need to be an inclusive society, we need to take everybody into our decisions, and we need to talk for everybody and stand up for everybody. I feel a lot of people feel that visually impaired can't do a certain kind of jobs, but you know, the living example for us is the Usha Silai, where our visually impaired can stitch. And really, I do believe nothing is impossible. They sometimes need a little bit of more support, but you know, if they're trained well, if they are guided well, they are as capable as anybody else. I would like to see more of corporates and even any kind of consultancies, company coming forward to tell us what they want, and we can train them. It's not like we can't train them. Mm-hmm. It's lack of awareness and lack of opportunity.
Well, let's hope that changes. You're also the General Secretary of the Delhi Craft Council. Now, craftsmen have also really suffered during this pandemic. But a good thing that the pandemic has brought has also been this huge demand for, you know, shopping local and, you know, going back to your roots and, you know, discovering things that are more well within the country. How has the experience been at the Delhi Crafts Council?
Like blind relief, we didn't know what has hit us. I think even with blind relief and even with Delhi Craft Council or the craft sector, what has happened is that a lot of collaborations have happened. You know, people have finally embraced the big word collaboration and actually are going forward and supporting each other. Talking about, about the craftsmen, it's been very difficult. I am so glad people are talking about handmade. My only request to all the people who are listening today is that please do not haggle with the craftsmen. Please don't think that anything made out of hand needs to be cheap. And I think that's what needs to change. People think that anything which is handicraft, handloom needs to be very, very cheap. No, it doesn't. You need to give, you know, like the visually impaired, everybody needs to be given that dignity for the work that they do. A lot of people who are supporting the craftsmen, but what has happened is, again, lack of access to, the market, digital divide is very, very glaring at our face at the moment, even with the craftsmen. But I am glad that there is a movement, and the movement between different NGOs also who work with the craftsmen. So all of us are supporting everybody. So which is lovely, you know, like collaboration is at another level, and we are talking. Initially, we never used to talk about education. We never used to talk about handmade or crafts. We never even used to speak about inclusive society. And I think pandemic has probably taught us that it's about time we started talking and taking action and making policies that support these different sectors.
Definitely. I think the pandemic's made everyone very aware of like the decisions, and you know, every step that they're taking suddenly has the you I need to think pandemic, about what you're doing.
But I think pandemic has made us realize the disparity that exists in our country. And I think people are more aware of it. I think people knew about it, but when they saw the migrant laborers moving, when they saw everything, I think people became more sensitive. And it's lovely. It's a civil society which is actually supporting and has supported the country through the pandemic. So kudos to us. Yes.
Absolutely. On the topic of disparity, you were earlier telling me about something that you started for women education. Can you just tell us more about that?
Happy to share. My husband and I, we just launched our foundation, and we want to support girls who are, who've completed their grade 12 and are looking to pursue their college degree. But actually, it's not just a scholarship, it's a fellowship. We need to see many more women leaders in our country. It's not, 50% of the population is the women. They are the women, right? So how can we empower them? How can we create opportunities for them? And so we thought of starting a fellowship, which will, of course, give them funding for their college. But the most important pillar of the fellowship is their mentoring, the life skills that we will, expose them to, and community service. And we are hoping that we'd be able to create many more women leaders in our country and provide opportunities to these girls who come from very, very humble background, but have the passion and desire to change their lives, their homes, their communities, and hopefully our country. So baby steps towards creating next level of women leaders in our country.
Well, best of luck for that. Thank you. This sounds very, very exciting, and especially everything that's going on right now. I think it's very important to empower women because they're the first who will suffer in all of them.
Yeah, small way of just giving back.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for joining us today on Delhi Decoded.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. All the very best and happy Diwali.
Wishing you all a very happy, prosperous and safe Diwali. That's all from me this week. I'll be back next week with a new pin code. Until then, please like, subscribe and share this episode. We're always looking to hear your thoughts and suggestions. We're ever present on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at HD Smartcast. You can also reach out to me directly on Twitter at Pritika Khanna. Thank you so much for joining in. See you next time. Until then, stay safe and healthy.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.